The 2,000-member church was filled to overflowing capacity one Sunday morning. The preacher was ready to start the sermon when two men dressed in long black coats and black hats entered the back of the building of the church. One of the two men walked to the middle of the church while the other stayed at the back of the church. Both reached under their coats and withdrew automatic weapons. The one in the middle announced, "Everyone willing to take a bullet for Jesus, stay in your seats." Naturally, the pews emptied, followed by the choir. The deacons ran out the door, followed by the choir director and the assistant pastor. After a few moments, there were about 20 people left sitting in the church. The preacher was holding steady in the pulpit. The two men put their weapons away and said gently to the preacher, "All right, Pastor, the hypocrites are gone. Now you can begin the service." So this is the sixth week in our series on what it means to be a church member. The last one. I'm sure you're all excited. You're probably tired of hearing me go on about this. But it's the last one. But I truly hope that you've been allowing God to work in your heart through this message series. I hope that you've been allowing Him to change your heart. Well, the message title today is "I Will Treasure Church Membership as a Gift." Now, it's the last time you're going to hear me say this, but the focus is not on what it means to be a member of this church. The focus is on what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, to be a member of Christ's church. And this series has been based on a book written by Tom Rainer called "I Am a Church Member." So this morning, we're going to be going over the main points of the last chapter of that book. I'm going to have a short story for you later, but I want to start out this morning by throwing a scenario at you. Imagine a child facing two situations. In the first scenario, mom tells Johnny that he must clean his room. It must be spotless. He'll probably have to put hours into his cleaning efforts. Anything less than perfection is unacceptable. Whether he likes it or not, that room must be cleaner than it's ever been before. Well, in the second scenario, mom tells Johnny that someone has given him an incredible gift. It's wrapped and ready to open. She gets him increasingly excited by letting him know that this is one of the greatest gifts that he's ever been given and one of the greatest gifts that he'll ever receive in his entire life. She tells him that this gift will bring him more joy than any gift that he's ever experienced in his life. Okay, if Johnny has the choice of scenario one or scenario two, which one is he going to choose? I know these two scenarios are unlikely, and I know the obvious choice. I don't think we even have to ask Johnny which one he's going to choose. It's pretty obvious which one Johnny's going to want. So would it surprise you this morning if I told you that as church members, we face a similar choice, and I think it should be totally obvious which one we choose? It shouldn't be a surprise because we've been talking about it now for 5 weeks. Our first option is to look at church membership with that country club mentality. Remember talking about that? We join the church to see what we can get out of the deal. The pastor can preach, you know, good messages, but nothing that will inconvenience the congregation. And he has to make sure that we get out on time because you know, they just can't be too long. We have things to do. And the music has to be exactly like we want it or we get upset. And deviations aren't acceptable. The ministries have to be done in a way that benefit us. And we determine what is and is not acceptable. As members, we expect perks, privileges, and service. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but we have to recognize that there is a huge problem with the country club church mentality. Let me illustrate with a question. What happens when you ask the country club church member to serve in the nursery for a while? Ooh, the nursery. What happens when you ask them to lead a children's Sunday school class? What happens when you ask them to help in children's ministries? Ones that just might inconvenience them a little. What happens then? We all know what happens. So some may do it out of obligation because they have this legalistic approach to serving. They don't want to because the country club membership says that we should be served and not serve others. It's not about us working. But they accept with a bad attitude, and they complain the whole time. They do the very best they can to sour the attitude of everyone they encounter in the process. Right? We've seen it before. Other country club members just get mad or offended when they're asked to serve. You often hear the words, "I've served my time already." To some, God's call to ministry is like a prison sentence. Once they get out, they never want to be caught in it again. Those folks rarely offer a valid reason why they won't serve. They just choose to be grumpy and mad just because they can. Oftentimes we hear those folks say, "That's what we pay the pastor for. He should do that." Here's what I hope that you've been able to take away from this series up to this point. Our entire attitude is changed when we approach church membership from a biblical perspective. That is point number one this morning. The biblical perspective of the gift of church membership. I have a short story here to tell you as part of point number one. And the story came directly out of the book, I Am a Church Member. And this is what Tom Rainer said. He said, "I became a follower of Christ as a teenager. My high school football coach, Joe Hendrickson, showed me this verse in the Bible. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And he explained to me that everyone is a sinner and no one deserves salvation. Everyone deserves death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's Romans 6:23. But Coach Hendrickson showed me that Jesus took the punishment for me. He was my substitute on the cross. He became sin for me. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, that evening, after my coach shared the gospel with me, I repented or turned away from my sins and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." In Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." When we place our faith in Jesus Christ and repent of our sins, we receive the free gift of salvation. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we see that salvation is a gift. This gift is only because of Christ's work on the cross, not because of anything we do. We could never earn or deserve that gift. On our own, we could never accomplish what Christ did on the cross. When we receive this gift, we become part of the body of Christ, members of His church. Y'all remember 1 Corinthians 12:27 and the first part of 28. Here's what it says. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church." So I hope this morning that you get the picture that's being painted. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we receive a gift. And it's the most wonderful gift you could ever receive. With the right attitude, you'll get more enjoyment from this gift than you ever have from any gift you've ever been given or you ever will be given. That gift includes eternal salvation. It includes the possibility to be forgiven of sins, past, present, and future. It means being adopted by God the Father. It means that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and give us direction. And it means becoming a part of the body of Christ. The church. The church is a gift from God. It's not legalistic obligation. It's not country club perks. And it's definitely not a license for entitlement. It's the most precious gift that we've ever been given. It's a gift of God. And we should treasure it joyfully. Brings us to point number two this morning. The local church is important. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but we can look at the New Testament and we can see that the local church was important. Such a huge portion of the New Testament was addressed directly to the local church. And several books were addressed directly to leaders of the local church. Now, I can't remember exactly how many it was. I didn't count, but there were at least 13 books in the New Testament that fit this criteria. And to say that the church is not important or that we don't need to come to church is completely absurd. Read the book. That's what it all boils down to. All of us coming together in the local church and acting as the body of Christ to accomplish the will of God. Don't take my word for it. Read the book. Every one of us has a job in the local church. That's why we're here. We need to come together and support each other and fulfill the tasks that God has given each one of us. To say we don't need to come together as Christians is nothing more than a poor excuse. That's it. Bottom line, it's a poor excuse. If you're one of those folks that say, "Well, I don't need to come to church to be a Christian," that's a poor excuse to do what you want. That's the way I see it, and that's the way God sees it. Point number three this morning. We have to understand the gift. Let's say the person sitting right beside you hands you a nice gift. How do you respond? Leslie's looking for her gift, I see. How do you respond? You say, "Thank you," right? You're thankful for that gift. Tom Rainer said this about church membership. He said, "Church membership is a gift. A gift must be treasured. It should not be taken for granted or considered lightly because it is a gift. We must always be thankful for it. And when we are thankful for something, we have less time and energy to be negative. When we receive a gift, we respond with appreciation to the givers and the giver's entire family. Other church members who have received the gift of salvation are adopted as sons and daughters just like you are. They're not perfect, They're hypocrites, just like you are. But because of your abundant joy from receiving the gift of salvation, you serve other church members with the same joy. I know we've talked about this over and over again in this series, but church membership says, I'm okay with serving others. I can be happy about being last instead of being first. Do you remember Matthew 28, verses 26 through 28? This is where some of the disciples were kind of arguing around about being first. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. But Jesus called them together. And he said this. He said, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I'll say it again. Church membership is a gift. And we should respond to this gift by being thankful. Because the reality is, we don't deserve it. Not even a little bit. Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us so that we could live forever with him in heaven. And our reasonable response should be to dedicate our lives to serve him out of love. We should be serving the way Jesus did. He's our example. Brings us to point number four this morning. Point number four is the sixth pledge. And as with all with this pledge, as it was with all the rest, we have a responsibility. Once again this week, you should have that piece of paper that says the sixth pledge, and it includes the fifth pledge because I forgot it last week. But if you didn't get that paper, it is on the stand right outside the door, and you can pick one up as you leave. I ask that you take this paper and you take it home and you read it and you pray about it and you see where God leads you. I've asked you the same thing each and every week. Again, there's a spot on the bottom to sign it. I'm not asking you to sign it. I'm asking you to use this as a reminder of what it means to be a church member. To remind yourself that as church members, we have responsibilities. So this morning, as we wrap up this series, we're at the end. How will you respond to the things that you've heard? All I can do is put this stuff out there for you and hope that you pick it up. I can't force anything on you. I can't open the top of your head and pour it in. You have to grab it. As Christians, we have been given the greatest gift that has ever been given. And I'm asking you this morning, don't neglect it. Now, I'm not quite done. Before I close, there are a couple other things that I have to tell you. And the first is this. I recently had somebody tell me about an individual who was disappointed in me and in the leadership of the church. And not necessarily angry, but disappointed because maybe we had been sidestepping some issues. I have to say that I was a little hurt by this. Now, not hurt because the person said it. I was hurt because it was true. And maybe hurt isn't necessarily the word I should have used. Maybe convicted was the word that I should have used. But it really drove home the point to me that people are counting on us to lead. People are counting on me to lead. And they're counting on each and every one of you to lead in the ministry where God has placed you. I know sometimes it's hard to think about that way, but there are people counting on you. They're counting on you to be responsible for the gift that God's given you called church membership. The reality is, being responsible is what church membership is all about. Second thing this morning that I really feel inclined that I have to tell you is, a couple of months ago, I said something in a message that I want to remind you of this morning. And here's what I said. I said, I want you to know that as your pastor, I have to begin to lead you a little more aggressively from outside of this pulpit. Up to this point, I have been doing my best to communicate what God has given me and expect you to pick it up and move. And I have to begin to lead a little more aggressively outside of this spot. And I realize that I can't lead unless you're willing to follow. And so then I ask you the question, will you follow? You see, I know that my approach might be a little different than what you're used to. I know that people often say they want change and they want to move forward, but that's only if it doesn't involve them. So the question remains, if I lead, will you follow? Even if the method is a little different than what you're used to, even if it's different than what you personally want. Do y'all remember when I said that? Well, I want you to know this morning that this six-week series was designed to begin to lead everyone to see the need for change in this church, to lead for the change of attitude. You know, the deacon group's been reading a book that has pointed out how much we need change in this church. I want to be clear to you this morning. The change that has to happen, you might not necessarily like. I don't know. Maybe you will. What I do know is that if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to change. We have to be a moving church. And I want to tell you up front, those changes are not designed to hurt anybody's feelings. In fact, I want to remind you again that church membership is not about you. It's not about your personal preferences. It's about God's call to go and to tell and to teach and to make disciples. And I intend to lead this body to become more intentional about these things. There are already people that God has inspired to do the legwork, to show us what works and what doesn't and where we need to change. And I hope that through this series, everyone has been able to see that and to realize it. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We have to do what we know works. We have to get out of the past and into the now. We have to stop standing in our own way. This will be a process, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take flexibility on the part of everybody in this church. I want you to know that I have one last statement to make, and it's going to be bold and right to the point. And I hope y'all don't mind me getting right to the point, because I'm going to continue to do that in the future. So I hope it doesn't bother anybody. But when it comes, we have a couple of options when it comes to moving forward. The first option is what I'm going to refer to as the blank check method. This is the method I believe God wants us to use. And let me tell you where I got that phrase so that you'll better understand what it means. How many of you are familiar with the name David Platt? Anybody familiar with that name? Well, he is a former SBC pastor and a very well-established author. He also happens to be the president of the IMB. The IMB is the International Mission Board. It's an entity of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the SBC has more than 46,000 churches with well over 16 million members that support the IMB. And the mission statement of the IMB is evangelizing, discipling, and planting reproducing churches among all peoples in fulfillment of the Great Commission. Basically, they plant churches all over the world. This is the group that our Lottie Moon Christmas offering supports, if you didn't know that. Well, I had the opportunity to attend the SBC National Convention where David Platt was speaking about the future of the IMB. And he was talking about the relationship between the IMB and the NAMB, which the NAMB is the North American Mission Board, which they're very similar organizations, except the North American Mission Board operates inside the United States. They basically do the same thing. When David Platt was asked the question of whether these two organizations would begin to work closer together, maybe even possibly combine in the future, he said, blank check. The blank check is on the table. He said, when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Christ, everything is on the table. Obviously staying in within the confines of Scripture, but whatever is best for this effort to occur was what he wanted. I heard him say that, and I said, wow. Shouldn't that be the attitude of every single one of us? That's where we need to be. Blank check. The second option is not as appealing to me. We're going to call it quarrelsome frustration. In the second option, I attempt to move forward with a handful of people while the rest resist any type of significant change in the church. Over time, I become frustrated with the group that is opposed to any change. They become frustrated with me. They become frustrated with my constant push to reach the community with new methods that have been proven to work. Then one of two things happens. I get frustrated enough to leave, or you get frustrated enough to fire me. Then the church continues the downward spiral, and eventually the doors close. I know some of you think that'll never happen, but it happens all the time. And if we're not careful, it could happen here. We will be in one of these two places, and it's really up to the majority how it plays out. I have to tell you that I don't stand here this morning in shock as I say this. It's not a new revelation to me. You see, I knew this when I came here as your pastor. I'm here because God called me here. Now, I have to be honest, I wasn't expecting to be at this point this quickly, but I knew we would eventually be here. So, how do we move forward? That's the question this morning. Will we move forward with blank check or quarrelsome frustration? It's really up to you. Will you all stand with me? As always, as you stand, I ask that for just a minute that you would bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to talk to you for just a second. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. But somewhere through this process, you felt Christ tugging on your heart. If that's the case, I want you to know that just like I said earlier, He loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that every single one of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. It says that the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But here's the thing, he didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave having conquered death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe this with all of your heart and you'll confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. I'm not going to stand here this morning and tell you that that relationship will be easy, because it won't. It won't solve all your problems. In fact, it might cause a few new ones. But it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. If that's something you want to do this morning, in just a minute I'm going to open up this altar and you can come forward and you can pray. And I'd be glad to pray with you if that's what you'd like. Otherwise, I'll just leave you alone. If you want me to pray, I'll just ask. I'd be glad to lead you. I'd be glad to talk about this and show you what your next steps are. If God's tugging on your heart this morning, let this be the day that you respond. For the rest of us, I just hope that this series has made a difference in your life. I can't encourage you enough to take this serious. This is a time to allow God to lead and a time to respond to His leading. I know He's asking each and every one of us to change. Allow Him to speak to you. I still believe that He's going to make radical changes in this body of believers. But we have to be obedient. Take that step of faith this morning and follow His call. Father, we come before You. And as always, we thank You for everything that You do for us. We thank You for everything that You do in our lives. You consistently work in our lives, and we thank You so much. We're dependent on Your wisdom and Your will, Lord. Again, we thank You that Your Word tells us what biblical membership looks like. We pray that You will continue to paint that picture in our heart and allow us to take it serious. God, I pray that this series has accomplished what You intended it to accomplish. Don't allow this group of believers to follow the direction that so many churches have gone. Father, I don't want to see the doors close here. Inspire us to have a difference, to make a difference for You, Lord, to act for You. Allow us to go out into this community, Lord, and reach people with Your Word. Inspire us to follow You and to seek Your will as we work for You. Father, this message was Yours, and this time of invitation is Yours too. I just pray that You would use it as You see fit. Convict and inspire where You see fit. It's in the name of Jesus we come to You. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you. If you have business with God, if God's leading you, if He's tugging on your heart, today's the day to take care of it. Don't wait. I'd be glad to pray with you if that's what you desire. Just let me know. This altar's open to you.